Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Keith over here, broadcasting live from Delaware Square, Pensacola Business Radio. And I have in my studio this morning Mr. Brian Fraser, who happens to be running for U.S. Congress. We are here to talk about his world right now. And Mr. Robert McClure, good morning to both of you gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning.
So, Brian, let's just, last time we met, we were hanging out and doing some food stuff, and now you're running for Congress. So, tell me why.
Yeah, well, I was kind of hobbying with some hot sauce and, looking at getting into that world, but I told my wife about a year ago, I just can't sit back retired and watch what's going on with the country and in politics, and nothing seemed to be going our way. So I said, I'm going to go run for Congress. And, at that time, Jeff Miller was still our congressman. He still is. But at that time, we thought for sure he was still running. He was going to run unopposed, I believe. So I was going to go run against him. And, I hit the road and started putting everything else aside, hitting all the clubs and everything I could out to the east, and started working my way back this way in order to try to meet people and figure out how you do this.
Yeah.
And along the way, I picked up Robert McClure, who used to be the Santa Rosa County tax collector for many years. And he's been helping me out to meet people, talk to people, get our message out, and so the people have a clear choice this time.
Yeah, it sounds like over your travels in the last couple of weeks, you realize you made the right decision, huh?
Yeah, I think so. All of a sudden, Jeff Miller decided he wasn't going to run, and now a bunch of other folks are jumping in to run, but that's good. That's why I'm for term limits. Nobody wants to run when they don't think they can win.
And sure.
It's a very hard process. It's physically, mentally, and financially draining. When the odds are stacked up so great against you, when you have a 15-year incumbent with basically unlimited funds, people don't want to run. But we need people to run. It's supposed to be a citizen government, and now we see what happens when you have an open seat, and it was by choice for Mr. Miller. But
sure,
if we had term limits, this would happen regularly.
Right.
6 to 8 years. Now, all of a sudden, you have 5 or 6 people running for an office from various backgrounds. I mean, we have career politicians all the way to people like me who are just a retired military guy that says, I think I have something to offer. And now there are going to be clear choices to make.
Yeah.
And I think that, choice is always better.
Well, okay, so let's talk about what you have to offer. And let's talk about, would be my personal opinion, but somebody with your background and comes from where you come from, and like you said, you haven't been entrenched in all of this stuff. So a lot of what you have and what you think really matters to you.
Oh, yeah.
Would be my feeling, because so you're going for it here.
Yeah.
And I think you've got some pretty powerful things to stand on. But what's going to make you different than the other candidates that are out there?
Well, you mentioned, it's just kind of like what hit me a year ago. I just cannot sit back and watch this anymore. I got to go try to do something. Don't know much what else to do. When I was wearing the uniform still, I felt like I was part of something bigger, trying to make a difference. And then I retired and I see what's going on. So I do believe in it. I grew up in the military. My dad was military. He retired here. We came here in the 70s, met my family's wife, my wife's family back then. We ended up getting married in 90, been married for 25 years. So we came home. But I was a military dependent child, lived all over the world as my dad wore the uniform. And then I joined the Navy after FSU.
Go Noles.
Yeah, go Noles, baby.
It's great to be home because
I went there a long time ago, and now my daughter's there. And my son will be there next year.
Yeah,
so
all right.
It's awesome, and it's good to be back. But I spent 25 years on active duty, traveled all over the world with my family, made all those, they have the same sacrifices. It's no hometown, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Different school every couple years. And now I'm a veteran, and my dad's been a veteran for a while. So those experiences have led me to really feel strongly about national security. I think I have probably the best background in national security of anybody who's going to enter this race. And then the last 4.5 years I spent in Washington, D.C., working in agencies, departments, and offices, mostly doing anti-terrorism based either research, study, analysis for the Guantanamo Bay prisoners, or running vulnerability assessments, both domestically and globally. So on that front, I have a very unique background, which I'm sure nobody's going to be able to come close to, on the mindset and what's going on in the world of terrorism. And I think Congress needs some guys that really understand what's going on,
yeah,
and know when to stand up and start screaming and yelling yes or no one way or the other. And that'll also help protect our troops who are out around the world trying to protect us.
Yeah.
And in many cases, I don't think they're getting what they need, either rules of engagement wise or equipment, or we're putting them places maybe they shouldn't be. So
right.
we need some folks that understand all that. And then on the principal side, I'm a constitutional conservative, so I believe that the federal government's not supposed to do much more than national security. We need more veterans up there that understand it, and if we were only doing what we should be doing at the federal level, we'd have more than enough money to do it. So that means cutting out a lot of things that aren't listed in the Constitution mm-hmm. as constitutional powers for the federal government. So, you know, we need to get out of things like the education department, get local controls of our schools back, many things like that. Like we talked about earlier, just get the federal government out of it, let them take care of national security and defend our rights, set the environment for the states to prosper. And mm-hmm. if we can get those regulatory agencies and all the regulations and requirements that come down from people that don't know, say, Pensacola or District 1 of Florida,
right.
get them out of our lives, we can regulate ourselves pretty well, I think. We'll be fine. But our businesses will be able to boom again, and somebody can actually go out and start up a successful small business with much less overhead, and then they'll have a much better chance for success. And the businesses that are already here will boom too. So that's just one example of the federal overreach. And we need people that will actually go up there and do it. You know, I'm also right. for term limits, like I mentioned earlier. Well, everybody seems to be for term limits until they get up there. And then they're no longer for term limits anymore. They're not standing the line. A lot of guys, I think, you know, they're only interested in the position or they need a job.
Right.
I'm interested in the position only so I can make a difference, and I don't need a job. So I'll stand the line. I'm going to do exactly what I say I'm going to do, and I'm not going to be voting for unconstitutional expenditures or powers out of the federal government.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a clear choice. Someone who has requisite experience fills a void that we have in D.C., which is lack of military experience in our Congress, and has the principles to stand on, and will take the heat, because there'll be a lot of heat if you stand on those principles
sure.
out there in Washington, D.C.
Sure. So what else do you feel locally are some issues that will be addressed with your campaign?
Well, there will be tons of local issues, but again, I just go back to the Constitution and I say, look, local issues are for the local government and the mm-hmm. state government to worry about. And what people have to do is get into the mindset that we used to be on before the 60s, about around the 60s, is where we're always looking to the federal government to solve problems for us.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government's role is not to solve problems for people. The federal government's role is to protect them from violence and fraud and protect the rights that are guaranteed by the Constitution, and that's it. So things like health care, education, that's not a federal government issue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the federal government comes in and tries to solve a problem for you, you got to watch out, because things are probably going to get a lot worse. And
right.
we see that with healthcare, that, you know, what was supposed to have been a great deal for everybody. You know, you got people, one of the big local issues is healthcare and expenditures on pharmaceuticals, et cetera. Well, it's
sure.
all skyrocketing now that the federal government came in with 2,000 pages more of regulation. And we still don't know what all was in that bill. But yeah, we have maybe more people insured. But if you have a $5,000 deductible, and you have a medical need,
right.
but you don't have $5,000, then you really don't have health insurance.
Right.
And I'm hearing that a lot. And I'm hearing a lot about folks having to buy medication that they can't afford. They're buying it outside the country for much cheaper.
Yeah. Unregulated.
Unregulated.
Yeah.
And it's much cheaper, but it's still made by the same companies. In many cases, it's the exact same stuff. But because when it enters our country, the federal government is supposed to regulate interstate commerce,
right.
not cause it not to happen. So, you know, competition among the states, competition among everybody is going to drive the cost back down. So again, you just get back to the federal government comes in to solve a problem and it becomes the problem. And when it tries to run a big issue or solve a problem, it generally makes the problem bigger and much more insurmountable. So we've got to get them back into the constitutional box.
Right. And I keep seeing you is, you know, that's sort of the link that you're going to have. And I think that's what you're trying to say. So, you know, because I remember back in the day when we were, you know, kids in high school or whatever, and they would always tell you, well, if you're not happy with something statewide or government, we'll write your Congress. I've never written a congressman, to be absolutely honest.
And because, most people haven't.
Yeah, because it was one of those things. Of course, now technology is better and you can really get to the heart of it. But yeah. But I think that you've got a finger on the local pulse enough to lend a hand.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, everybody's going to be better off if we can get the federal government off our backs and out of our lives. I mean, really, you don't want to know the federal government exists. You just want to know that your country's being protected, mm-hmm. national security is under control, and you have the right to exercise all your rights, your freedom of speech, your freedom of religion, your freedom to carry a weapon if you choose to do so.
Right.
And again, I go back to there are some things the federal government's supposed to do, and we'll take the Second Amendment, for instance. Well, we shouldn't have a bunch of local laws on keeping and bearing arms.
Right.
It says right in the Constitution, shall not be infringed. So we should have a national carry policy. And there shouldn't be any room for local governments to change those laws or to change that right. It's a God-given right to self-defense. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's reiterated in the Second Amendment. But we've got all kind of different rules in towns, states, municipalities, you name it. You go around the country, you can have a weapon, you can't, you can carry, you can't, you can open carry. That all those rules are unconstitutional because those aren't states' rights. That's the federal government's issue, and it's a nationwide issue. So there are things the federal government's supposed to be doing, but they're not doing, and there's a lot of things that they're not supposed to be doing that they are doing. And so we got to get it turned right back side up. You know, we're upside down right now, and that's why it's not working. And that's why I'm sensing that people are not happy with the government that they've elected.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot don't even know. I mean, they don't know the length of how far the arm reach is, whether it should be, whether it shouldn't be. And let's face it, there's a fine line between some government programs or government outreach that really work and really are successful, as opposed to those that like with small business and regulation stuff that have made it
right.
hard to enter the markets and, you know, have really made it expensive and capital heavy to get some really good or great ideas off the ground to help humanity.
Sure. Yeah. And historically we saw most of that come out of the Department of Defense, you know, even though Al Gore says he invented the internet, the military invented the internet with some of the universities when they were collaborating on scientific studies. A lot of the space stuff when we shot up to the moon, well, there was tons of technological benefits from all that. So there's always great fallout from programs that are done properly.
Yeah.
But the biggest impact on people, individuals, should be local government.
Right.
Hey, you know, it shouldn't be call your federal congressman when you have a problem. It should be call your county commissioner or your city council.
Or go to the city hall meeting.
Or your state congressman or your senator, who you have a pretty good chance of getting a face-to-face with. Because there's more of them. They're local. They live in the area. Rather than one congressman. And even if he wants to do something for his district, there's 434 others up there that don't know anything about this district. And they're going to want something. They're going to want a deal too. And then you end up with a 2,000 page of things that make no sense because everybody got a little bit of something for their district. And, you know, we might get something good, but you got to remember if you're getting $5 a benefit from the federal government, you probably paid 10 in. So if you just kept that $10 local, you'd be much better off. You lost 50% on what you paid in federal tax before you got the federal money back. And I hear that a lot because people they're not grasping that idea.
Sure.
We need that federal money. Well, the federal government doesn't have any money. They get all their money from you, and then they take some of it, and then they send it back with rules attached to it. So you don't get the benefit of all your tax money, and then you're also laden with rules and regulations, which probably make it where you can't do what you wanted anyway. So again, when it comes to problem solving, it's local issues will affect local people, and that's how it should be. You know, the federal government shouldn't be reaching in from Washington, D.C., having a real personal direct effect on a citizen. And we're seeing that happen more and more. You know, the IRS will come in without any due process just on because they think something and seize accounts. They've gathered up legislative, executive, and judicial powers all in one place. And, you know, the founders worked very hard to separate those powers. When you have agencies that have collected all those powers, that's called tyranny, and you don't get a fair shake when you have tyranny. So they come in and do whatever they want, and you go, you know, it's their rules. their executioner. They come in and arrest you, and then they judge it in their courts, and it's not due process.
Right.
It just doesn't fit with a representative form of government.
So you get elected and you get there, and where do you go? And how, I mean, these are big issues.
Yeah.
And these are big, yeah, lots of working pieces. How do you go in and change this stuff? And then convince me that you're really going to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I'm really going to do what the only thing I can promise is I'll do exactly what I say I'm going to do. And I will try to convince others that that's the right way to go. Now, one of the first things I'll do is join the Term Limits Caucus, because I really do believe in term limits, and I won't go there and change my mind because it seems like, oh, this is really nice up here. I like it. I don't plan on staying there. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to go back to DC. My plan was to stay here for the rest of my life. This is where I want to be.
Right.
But I have a duty to go try to do something. So I'm going to try to go do it. I want to come back, and I want to come back soon. So I'm going to be standing for term limits, and I'm going to try to help grow that caucus to where it's powerful enough to get an amendment. And it'll take, yeah, a constitutional amendment to change it, but we need it. And then on the other front, to get back to a constitutional form of government, there's a Freedom Caucus, and there's some caucuses up there. And what I hope is there'll be a lot of freshmen, newly elected non-politicians that really don't need a job, never really wanted to come into this environment, but feel a duty to do something. They'll actually stand up and do what they say rather than go up and, you know, get bought off or start bargaining.
Get real comfortable.
Well, get real comfortable, yeah, like the lifestyle, want to get reelected. And, you know, a lot of times to get reelected, you need to make a bunch of friends up there so you can raise a bunch of money,
mm-hmm,
or at least so they don't support someone else.
Sure.
Well, that's not going to be a factor for me. If the people of this district elect me once, they'll elect me again. And if they don't, that's okay.
It's, right.
Again, every time somebody drops out or doesn't win, it opens up the door for other great people to run, and it brings forward people that should be running that they're just not going to run against a 15-year, yeah, incumbent. And it's a good turnover is a good part of the process. It's supposed to be a citizen government. People with recent relevant experience go up, make your input, try to make a difference, and then come back home and join your community again.
Yeah.
And I really honestly believe that to the bottom of my heart, so that I'm not going to change.
Yeah.
And if I do, I know Robert will be there to remind me why, yeah, I'm there,
yeah,
and what I'm supposed to be doing, but it's not going to be a factor.
And I kind of like and this is just me being sort of the entrepreneurial spirit, but I like the sort of burn the boats theory here, because you're choosing a limited time, which means honestly, you don't have to worry about who you might actually upset or, right, what's going to go right or what's going to go wrong. And as long as you're doing the right thing that you believe in and trying to fight for what your platform you're standing on, it sounds to me like you got a whole lot more oomph behind you, because, you know, when I'm done. And I don't have to sit here and try to make, like you were saying, make friends or.
Yeah, you know, and I know the heat's coming. And sometimes, you know, I think what I'm hoping, there's a group of people up there already that want to do it.
Yeah.
But maybe they need a little more help with the leadership of, hey, I'll get in front and I'll take the face shots,
right,
here.
Right. Because that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, it's going
to
happen.
You know, at some point, you're going to be the bad guy to somebody.
It'll happen, you know, whether I get elected or not.
Right.
And if I do get elected, then. It'll really, that's when the real hard part will start, because,
yeah,
that's when the real power is going to come in and try to change things. But sometimes there are people just waiting for somebody to join them.
Yeah.
Or somebody to step forward and say, all right,
I'll take the
watch
heat.
Watch this.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't go well, you guys can run and hide and I'll be sent back home.
Right.
You know, I won't be reelected. Well, let's see, you know, and I'm sure that. You won't be reelected, or we'll make sure you don't get reelected, mm-hmm, and the answer will be, well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, because obviously it's, right, up to the people.
Yeah, the
and
people.
Let's face it, the people that got there to begin with, they were taking the leap of faith too, and they were going against the grain.
Right,
And doing, you know, the right thing.
You got to go take the chance. You got to stand up at some point for what you believe in, and that's what this campaign's all about, is let's go try to make it how it's supposed to be.
Right.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So, Robert, I know you've sort of retired and been out of it, but you're back in knee deep, aren't you?
I'm pretty much back in knee deep, and I guess you're hearing the reason why right now.
Yeah, I can understand.
I mean, I look at Brian and I see a guy that's his beliefs are real strong, and he's talking about going up there and making a difference, and like you said, he's not going up there to make friends, but you're hearing right now on the radio a guy that can, I believe, can form coalitions and have a positive impact.
Sure. Sure. I mean, 25 years in the military, I'm assuming that's pretty much what you've been doing your career.
Yeah.
I mean, with your work that you were doing.
Once you become a little more senior, you know, well, even as a junior officer, you have troops that work with you. And,
yeah.
you know, they lead you and you lead them.
Sure.
Because you don't, you know, when you walk in as a lieutenant JG or a lieutenant and you have a chief that already knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
But you're kind of called the leader of the detachment. Well, guess what? You're going to have to listen real hard and learn a lot mm-hmm. from that guy, because he's going to be, and I was fortunate enough to have great people always around me that taught me, took care of me, told me when I was making mistakes, corrected me, and we went along. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to retire as a captain in the Navy. There's a lot of leadership experience that
sure.
you get along the way, whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends on whether you're successful. And most of the time it was pretty successful. And a lot of it just has to do with doing the right thing for the right reason, even when it's not popular.
Mm-hmm.
But when it works out well, then everybody realizes, yeah, you know what?
I'm glad we
did that.
Yeah.
And even though we had to do it and it wasn't real comfortable at the time or maybe even pleasant, if you do the right thing for the right reason, even if it doesn't work out, then at least you can sleep well at night and know that you tried to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But when it does work out, then it's really gratifying to everybody from the top of the bottom to and left and right of the unit, because you did the right thing for the right reason, even though it was hard, and look what it paid off in spades. So, you know, I've had some of that. And again, I go back to the Washington, D.C. experience. I just think we've got a lot of folks that don't really understand how the federal government departments, agencies, and offices work. They've never led people there. They've never run a budget. With the last division I ran up at the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, we had Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, a bunch of different agencies, government service employees, contractors, and every kind of contract that you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand a little bit about how the budgeting works, both in the DOD and outside the DOD and the rest of the federal government, and worked in a lot of those agencies. Whereas I think if you don't have some experience up there, you're being briefed by people with agendas.
Sure.
You don't know any better.
Sure.
You don't even know what questions to ask.
Yeah.
So one of the big things is, hey, I've been there, done that, and somebody briefs you with an agenda, at least you can kind of maybe see what that agenda is and know what questions to ask.
Right.
And then, you know, when you ask those questions in front of other people that don't have that experience, well, that kind of clues everybody in on, okay, now we know a little bit more than we would have if nobody on this panel or the group that
right.
we're looking at, if nobody had any experience, then you're just going to take the brief. Those questions need to be asked, and that kind of goes back to the national security also. Hey, when is it time to raise the flag and say, no, 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 wait a minute. When's it time to get up and scream and yell? When is it time to cheer and go along with the way the administration may be going?
Things are going.
And I think there's just not folks with that level of experience. You just can't get it except unless you go do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes sometimes 25 years to do that. So,
yeah. So what do you have going on locally where some other people can come and talk and ask some questions and really get down into the heart of why they want to support you?
Yeah, well, the first thing we have coming up is on April the 14th. We have a meet, greet, fundraiser type event that we're putting on. It's going to be at the American Legion Post 240, and that's at 866 Gulf Beach Highway, Pensacola, Florida. It's on 14th of April from 6:45 to 8 p.m. That'll be an open door event. Come as you are, bring your questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll talk for a little while up front and just walk around and meet people, and then I'll stand up and grab the mic and give a little stump speech, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really like to do is open it up to the floor and let people ask questions. And I want to hear what they're concerned about and
sure.
let them hear what I think about. And then I really want them to know what I think about it, so they'll know if they want to vote for me or
yeah.
not. I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm not trying to tell anybody anything to get elected. I'm going to tell them the truth. And that's why I always solicit, just tell me what you want to hear about. I'm not going to have a scripted people asking questions. Just ask me what you're concerned about. And you know, heck, if I don't know, I'll tell you, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So do you have, because, you know, some people that may not be able to get to these kinds of things, do you have website? I know you've got some social media stuff going, but
yeah,
you got some centralized places where people can really start finding out about who you are?
Yeah, there's a couple ways to get to the website. One of them is www.brianfraserforuscongress.com. And then you can also get there easier by www.electavet.com. That's what you'll see on my signs around town mm-hmm. here, hopefully, real soon.
I saw it by the bridge, actually, on the way home yeah. yesterday.
Yeah, I was like, oh, look at that. Brian's been active.
Yeah. Electavet.com is the shortest way to type yep. in and get, and it'll take you to the website. And there's, you know, there's a more complete bio on what my experience is. Sure. It doesn't talk as much about the anti-terrorism experiences that I had, but it gives a pretty good idea. And then there's more issues, you know, ranging from the Veterans Administration to the economy to education mm-hmm. to the IRS, yada, yada. And there's a whole list of where I've written a small paragraph about my beliefs on those things. Mm-hmm. And people can take a look. And I hope they'll go look at that and then come to our event and have questions for me.
Yeah. Now, is there a way to contact you on either of those sites?
Yeah, there's email on there. Electavet@gmail.com will work. And then also my phone number is 733-9118. And if I'm not there, leave a message anytime.
Yeah. Robert's writing something down. So
let's
I think
see what we, Robert
it's,
got for me.
It's got something good, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I always, and this is the hardest part about this for me is
right.
we're looking for, you know, the guys are coming in that are going to run the career politicians are bringing big money with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, sure.
Big PAC money, some special interest money. I'm mm-hmm. sure, I'm not sure where all that money comes from, but they've got a lot of it. Mm-hmm. So we're always looking for donations, you know, small donation is great. Anything you can help with, it just costs a lot of money
sure.
to run one of these campaigns. But, you know, a few dollars buys a few signs. We're doing the best we can on yep. right now, pretty much a shoestring budget, but we're getting the message out there as best we can.
Is there a place to donate on your
yeah,
site?
Yeah, if you go to that website, there's a donate button on there, or you can just mail it to our campaign, which the address is also on there.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, I know we could go on for hours and hours, but I want to make sure that we've gotten a lot of the basic stuff.
Yeah, I think we, you know, it's basically, it's a conservative constitutional platform, you know, get back to what made us great, running our government according to our foundational document. The Constitution's the foundation for our representative form of government, our legal system, and our way of life. And we've started pretending like we don't have a constitution.
Right.
So we're going to have to realize that it exists. I encourage people to read it. You can read it in less than an hour. And then every time you read it, you'll say, oh, I didn't quite pick that up. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's an intricate document for sure, but it's very easy to read.
Right.
And I think people are going to have to start reading a little bit. I'm not sure that they're going to learn what they need to know in school these days. And again, that's why we need local control of our schools back, because then we'll teach our kids what we want them to be taught, and they'll do fine when they go take the test to get into college.
Right.
And I really believe that local control will produce much, much better results.
Yeah.
In fact, and well, I know it will.
Well, and I'm going to jump in with you on that one here. We have seen a lot of the local institutions here, whether it's the universities or whether it's the schools, really start to push the agenda of the things that the kids have wanted to learn, that the parents have wanted to learn, that the community needs for employment gap wise.
Right.
And as you start to see this little by little, from what I have seen, I will back you on that. It is working.
Yeah.
It is working.
And it will work. And they will be so much freer to do it faster and bigger.
Yeah.
It'll be bigger and better if they can get that regulation mm-hmm. giant off their back.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that are required of our local teachers and administrators that they don't need and they don't want, maybe. They know what to do.
Right.
They know our kids. They know our kids better than anybody in Washington ever thought they knew our kids. And that's the way it should be. So, again, if we can back the federal government up, get them out of that, and let it go back to where it's supposed to be, parents, teachers, and administrators here, I mean, they'll move out quick. I know they have tons of ideas. I've heard them talk. I go listen to them speak, and we seek them out to talk to them to get their inputs.
Sure.
And they're locked and loaded. They're ready to go. They're just being held back very, very strongly by all the regulation and overreach that's going on from the federal government. And they'll yeah. be better off without it.
Well, I'm going to thank both of you for coming in here today.
Well, thank you.
Robert's smiling. He's happy. I'm going to wish you very much luck.
Well, thank you.
And,
thank you so
and,
much.
I'm glad that you get to talk about what you're doing and what you're sharing and how you're going to just, I'm just impressed. I mean, like I said, last time we were hanging out, tasting some hot sauce and eating, and now you're taking a big leap for what you feel is right. And I value that in anyone, regardless of what it is that you're doing.
I think
that's a huge asset to have as a human being.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We'll take 15 seconds here. You know, we've got a choice this time, and we had one man in the race when Jeff Miller was running.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got five men in the race now, and I think we've got some clear-cut change differences between the candidates that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody agrees. You and I were talking before the show started, but everyone's frustrated with government. We're frustrated with the way our dollars are spent. We're frustrated with where they go. We're frustrated with the education system. We're paying more for insurance than we paid for a house mortgage, okay? So Obamacare is obviously not working. We've got a guy here that's bringing a lot to the table in Brian Fraser, and we've got a clear-cut choice between some of the candidates that are career politicians that have been in and been a part of the system. They've been a part of the problem. They haven't been a part of the solution. And obviously, they're going to bring a lot of money to the table, as Brian was saying, you know, because of the fact that they've been in the system for quite a while, and they've got the political action committees that we're seeing a lot of now in our presidential race.
Yeah, sure.
That are going to be bringing money to the table. So Brian's obviously, you know, going to be competing against a lot of money. I hope everybody's heard his message and they're as big a believer as I am in the fact that this man's going to go to Washington and do a good job for us and stand up for what he believes in.
Very good. Well, you got a man in your corner right there. Yeah, I can tell you that. Yeah. That's good to go. Okay, you guys, we're getting to the end of our time. But again, I want to thank both of you for coming in today.
Thank you, Keith. Thanks for having me back.
Hanging out with us.
Thank you, Keith.
And, guys, you can find us at PCola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at PCola BRX on Facebook, or you can find us on our website at Pensacola.BusinessRadioX.com. Again, gentlemen, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
And this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.